but let me quickly share with you on what I titled The Confidence of a Farmer, Trusting God for Your Harvest. The Confidence of a Farmer, Trusting God for Your Harvest. There is a confidence in a farmer that will make a farmer to labor and labor and labor, beginning from clearing the land to the point of planting, watering, do all manners of effort, and patiently waited. I mean, patiently wait for the harvest to come. It's a confidence. It's a great confidence to know that God does not change. That's the confidence. I'm drawing strength from that word. I, the Lord, do not change. That gives confidence. Is that all right? It's a great confidence to know that the God you serve, he doesn't change. Let that scripture give you confidence. And it is on the strength of the confidence of that scripture that God does not change. I'm sharing this with you. So as God has given us the promise of harvest this year, he said it's harvest time, right? Can God lie? Can God change? Can he repent? So let's look at the kind of confidence that make a farmer to labor and eventually reap. You will reap your harvest. So let me lay the foundation. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll read from verse 35 to 39. And I'll be reading from NIV. Glory to Jesus. It says, so do not throw away your confidence. Wow. So one thing that can be easily thrown away is the confidence. It will be richly rewarded. So one thing, again, that gets you reward is what? Confidence. Take note of this. I read on. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Listen, this is the lineage you belong to, the warrior. One thing about lion is that it doesn't turn to for anyone. Scripture confirmed that. It doesn't turn. The lion does not turn for any. That's one of the things that gave lion the victory. It doesn't turn. Even when the lion is afraid, you don't know. Listen, this season, what you need to put on, particularly we've started a new year, we've started a new month entirely. As you go back to work tomorrow, as you go back to work to begin another month, what you will need to get your reward is your confidence. Don't throw it away. Whatever it is you know how to do, it is time to add confidence to it. Is that all right? For example, if a student knows the answer, but is not confident to write it down, but he's still looking around to see what others will have to say, he may be confused and write down, the wrong thing eventually. Probably he's the only genius among those around him. And he's the one with the right answer. But he's trying to compare his notes with others. Others have taken other option. But the only option, the option he has taken is the right and the only right option. I mean, option. Eventually, if you continue to listen to those wrong options around him, he will also fail. And what will happen at the end is that he will have regrets. I like to tell you, stop comparing notes. Stop comparing yourself with others around you. You need to be confident in your God. You need to be confident in his grace upon your life. You need to be confident in what he has called you to do. You need to be confident in what he has given you to do. Is somebody listening to me? You need to be confident in your call. You need to be confident in your gift. You need to be confident in your own ability. And you need to press into action with it. You need to be confident in God that he can save you, that he can help you. The Bible says we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed. Listen, those who look back, they are destroyed. You need to look forward to the promise God has for you and press into it. He said, we do not belong to those who look back, who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. So let's quickly look at the confidence of a farmer. James chapter 5 verse 7. If you can write fast, that would be very awesome. I read NIV, James chapter 5, verse 7, NIV version. He said, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield his valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rain. Be patient. Patience is an expression of confidence. Bible says, he who believe does not make haste. See how a farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. Thank God many have japa and they have japa into their blessing. But many have left hurriedly, thinking every door is opened by God. Many doors are traps, traps of death. I always love to say this, that famine is not new. You must have heard me say that times with that number. Famine is not new. It happened even in the days of Abraham, the promised man, the man with the covenant and the promise of God. That was famine. In the days of his son Isaac, there was famine. But men of promise have confidence in their God. And they will not hesitate to ask God for the next action. So Abraham will ask God, Isaac will ask God, Genesis 26. And the Bible says, ask God, should I go from this land? God said, no, stay here. Remember how I led your father. So you two stay here. And the Bible says, he sowed in that land. And he reap hundredfolds. Folds. Hundred. And he become envied. May you hear God clearly. Come and say louder, amen. So what Isaac did there was to patiently wait like a farmer. The Bible says he sowed in the land. After sowing, you wait. Let me quickly go into five or six things. I think about five lessons from a farmer, from a good farmer. Number one, the farmer sows in faith. The farmer sows in faith. Even though a farmer does not see immediate result, but we still plant. So you have to trust God's word, even when there is no visible evidence yet. Is somebody with me today? Go ahead and sow. If need be, sow in tears. Yeah. Sow in tears if need be. Psalm 126, verse 5 to 6. They that sow in tears will reap in joy. We reap with songs of joy. It's not every sowing that is easy. No. There are some that is easy. Many are not easy. So if it means that you have to sow weeping, go ahead. It is better you sow in weeping that you miss your season to sow. And then when harvest comes, you have nothing to show. Please sow. That's number one lesson from a good farmer. You will not hesitate to sow. Number two, a good farmer will wait with patience. You have to wait for rain. Have to wait for every season. Have to wait for time. So you have to develop patience so that you don't lose your labor. And I also tell you this, even in your marriage, be patient. With your spouse, be patient. While your children are growing, be patient. Don't do things hurriedly. It's a form of confidence that if I wait small, things will get better. God's promises are sure. But you know what? They are not always immediate. Even though God's promises are sure, but they are not always immediate. Write it down. God's promises are sure, but they are not always immediate. When God gives you promise, you have to wait. Number three, lesson from a good farmer. A good farmer depends on divine factors. A good farmer will depend on divine factors. You know, you can't control rain. You can't control sun. Not even the growth process. How do you explain? You sow one seed, just one. And then by the time you are reaping, it's in multiples. That's a divine factor. Hello, science people. Up to today, I'm not sure there is a science that can explain multiplication. Has biology been able to do that? They will just tell you that once you sow the thing, and then eventually, and then there will be photosynthesis. After the photo, they won't tell you there will be camera synthesis and video synthesis. And they will just come with one grammar, you know, that they themselves cannot give explanation to. You better learn to depend on divine factors. Paul say, I, Paul, planted, Apollo, water. Who give increase, please? God. So even in your life, learn to depend on God. Acknowledge God's sovereignty in all that you do. Acknowledge God's sovereignty for your increase. Paul, plant. I, Paul, I plant. I can plant. I know how to. Apollo knew how to water. But after we have done all this, we have to depend on God to bring increase. So it's not of him that will let or run it, but of God that show us. That's your mercy. May you find mercy of God. In all your labor in life and destiny, may you find mercy of God. May God's mercy never depart from you in the name of Jesus. Point number four, lesson from a good farmer. The farmer keeps working. While you wait, you have to keep working. He weeds, he waters, he watches. He will not stop working. So part of your confidence is that while you are waiting, you are walking. Don't be idle while waiting for God's promises. Stay diligent in prayer. Stay diligent in studying the word of God and service to God and humanity. Be diligent. Be diligent. Joseph knew the promise of God ahead of him. He knew what he saw. Even though he has found himself in the prison, he knew what he saw. That gave him joy and confidence to interpret other people's dream. Even though his own dream cannot find the interpretation. You see, it's a confidence that you are displaying. Even though you don't have all the resources.
You don't have all you needed, but you find somebody who has a need, and out of your little, you can provide for them. It's a confidence in the promises of God for you. Listen, it's a confidence to rejoice in other people's joy. God promised you are going to be a mother of joyful children, yet you are still waiting. You are still a waiting mother. And you saw other people bearing, and you partake of their joy. It's a confidence in your God. Not to cover your head because God has not answered you or your time has not come. It's a confidence to rejoice in other people's joy. Others may look at you and say, look at him. Look at that. The Yoruba one is one called Nironu. Yeah, it's a confidence that will make you not to Nironu. So that eventually your joy will come. You see, when you partake in other people's joy, you sow joy. Therefore, you will reap it back. Is somebody learning something? Let me give you one more. So stay diligent. As a farmer, keep working. Number five, confidence of a good farmer. Lesson from a good farmer. A good farmer reaps with joy. So eventually the harvest will come. Is that all right? The Bible says, he who come will come. So eventually what God has promised you will come. Somebody say louder, amen. So there is a harvest for those who don't give up. There is a harvest for those who will not give up. Like I said the other time, if need be, sow in tears, so that you can be confident you have sown and that you can expect something in return. But you see, it's a personal deception that you miss your sowing. You refuse to sow, and then you are waiting for harvest. Not any miracle will bring that to happen. We make that happen. So you may sow in tears, but your joy will come. It will come. Psalm 126 says, so verse 5. So what is the key message in all of this? Like a good farmer, your confidence must rest in God's process. Your confidence must rest in God's sovereignty, that God is going to work it out. It must rest in God's timing. Stop comparing your timing with your friend's timing. Even if you are twin brothers and sisters, your identity, your destiny differs. Do you know how long Esau has married and Jacob is here to marry? Did you read your Bible to that point? The guy married, first one, second one, third one. At that moment, Jacob is here to marry. In fact, he's here to find his feet. But at the end of the day, who carried the promise? So I know this is not about who first got married, who first got the first house, who first got the first admission, who first got the first flight abroad, who first got... The most important thing is who get it right. Somebody said, the first house on the street is not always the best house. Is that all right? Lord, will you do going? The worst house in your street was the first one that was first built in that area. Let's run. Let's see more about confidence. So the key thing in this thing, I want you to learn from a farmer, is the confidence of a farmer, which I've shown you in these five things. So let me just press further a bit. So what is this confidence? Number one, full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10:22. What is this confidence? Number two, holding fast the profession of faith without wavering. What you profess in your mouth, you are holding on to it. You are not wavering. Without wavering. You want me to come back? Okay. I'm running too much. Oh, sorry. Okay, let me go back. What is confidence? Right? Are we okay there? Number one, full assurance. Let me slow down a bit.
Full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10:22. Number two, what is confidence? Holding fast the profession of faith without wavering. The faith you are confessing with your mouth, you hold on to it. No wavering. Igbagbo mi duro lori eje ato dodo Jesu ko je gbekele o kan leyin oru ola Jesu. A stanza says, "Ma jemu ati ejere le mi oromo bi komide bati ko sa ti le imo o je ire ti la fombe." Holding fast the profession of faith, no wavering. No wavering. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego said, "King, we are not careful to let you know. We are not going to bow. Not to this situation. We are not going to bow. We are not careful. We are not thinking it. We know what we ought to do. We know our faith. We know what the scripture says. We know what God says. We know what God is expected over our life. So we are not thinking. We are not going to pray about it." You know, that's where many of us trap ourselves. You know this is ungodliness, yet you want to pray about ungodliness. You want to pray about temptation. Ungodly unbeliever, they have come to trap you with ungodly trap, whether with a bribe, whether with option to do what is ungodly in your company, in the neighborhood. And then what you have to say is, "I will think about it." Think about what? Pray about what? They tell you you should marry an unbeliever. And they tell you you are running out of time. And then you are saying you are going to pray about it. Pray about what? Listen, when you try to pray about it, you can be sure God is going to give you answer. I mean, devil will give you answer. You can be sure devil will give you answer. In the way you used to hear God, devil will package it for you. Maybe you want to hear God by force. Maybe you want God to speak by force. You want God to speak what you want to hear. Devil will speak to you. Or you will force God to give you that which you want to hear. He told Balaam, "Don't go." The man told those that the king said, he said, "Let me pray about it." Eventually, God told him, "Go." Somebody here, don't force God to answer you according to your will. Don't force God. Don't force God. Let me run. Again, what is confidence? Faith in the faithfulness of the faithful God. Faith in the faithfulness of a faithful God. Of the faithful God. Malachi 3:6. We have read that. So you saw Abraham set out of confidence from his comfort zone. He stepped out with confidence. Out of his comfort zone. That is his father's house. Confidently trusting in God who has promised. At another time, he confidently saw his only begotten son, Isaac. Don't forget, at that time, Ishmael was no longer with him. Yeah, God said, "Give me thy only son which thou lovest." And he took that son, ready to sow him. But you know what? While he was sowing him, this is the confidence in the heart of Abraham. Let me show you the confidence. Please put on the string. Genesis chapter 22. Very quickly, sir. Very quickly, AY, please. Genesis 22 from verse 5 to 8. Let's quickly read. Can I trust you? Okay, thank you. Now, this is Abraham speaking. He said to his servant, stay here. By this time, you have seen the mountain after the third day. This is third day. Somebody listen. Stay here with the donkeys while I and the boy, referring to Isaac, go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to God. What did he call the sacrifice of his only son? Talk to me. What did Abraham call it? He said worship. Please, go on. Go on. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them went together. So let's see the response of Isaac. Question now. As he spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father, yes, my son. Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here. Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? So response of the father, verse 8. Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamp for the burnt offering, my son. God will provide. And the two of them went together. God will provide. This is his assurance. God is going to provide. Are you getting me? When he gave response, I mean, instruction to those servants, he said, we are going to worship. What are we going to do? After we worship, we will what? We will come back. I am offering this son, but I will bring him back. It's a confidence. When you have confidence that whatever you do for God, God is not a taker, he's a giver. You will give freely. You will give joyfully. When you know that God is a giver, not a taker, whatever he asks you to give, it is because he wants to bless you. Do you notice that scripture, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, if you carry a Bible that gives Eden, the Eden there is it was the Eden there I found in one of the translation I was reading was breaking the covenant of Titan. That's the way that Eden put it. Do you have any Bible like that? Anybody with any Bible like that? He said, breaking the covenant of Titan. Titan is a covenant. Many of us don't know it. The reason why you're not Titan is because Nigeria is hard. But I tell you today, the reason why things are getting hard for you is because of the hardness of your heart, not because the country is hard. Have you noticed that things people are doing before this economy downturn, people continue to do? Do you notice people are still building? Have you heard of somebody you know just traveled recently? Huh? So it is not because of the hardness of the heart. It is because of the hardness of your heart. God is the same. His covenant and principles stand it. If you can find one and you can be faithful to do it, God will be faithful to return in blessing to you. Can I hear your louder amen? Let's read on. Let's read on. Okay, let's leave that. Let's press further. So except we have confidence, we will lose our reward. Write it down. Except I have confidence, I will lose my reward. Hebrews 10:35 says so. Don't throw away your confidence now. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Hebrews 4:16 says, when you want to come to the presence of God, he said, come boldly. Boldly. You want to pray? Come boldly, so that as you ask your Father at the throne of grace, you will find help in time of need. But as you are coming to this throne of grace, how do you come? Confidently. Let us come boldly. Let us come confidently. Please put that Hebrews 4:16 on the screen for me. Let us come boldly. And then when you look at Mark 11:24, it says, as we pray, let us have confidence. Let us believe, in other words, that what we have asked, we have received, and it shall be so.
Did you see that? When you come to the throne of your Father, you approach God with confidence. How do you approach God?
Confidently.
Let me give you the reason why, the confidence of a believer. Confidence of a believer. Write it down. Number one, confidence of a believer. Believer's confidence. Number one, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10:19. The confidence of a believer. This is the believer's confidence. Number one, the blood of Jesus. Number two, the word of God. The word of God. The word of God. Number three, the faithfulness of God, that it does not change. These are the confidence of a believer. So as we approach God, we are approaching with confidence. Not like servants. Servants don't have confidence. That's why you have to understand that we are not the same. Some religion says they are servants. But we, children of God, say we are sons of God. We are not, I can't hear your voice. We are sons. We are sons of God. We are not servants. Servants don't have confidence. Amen? How do you approach God? Talk to me. How do you approach God? Confidently. So don't throw away your confidence. Listen, the moment you approach God without confidence, you have lost the prayer. You have lost it. You have to approach him confidently. Boosting your confidence. Let me give you 5 points or 3 points. Boosting your confidence. Boosting your confidence as a believer, as a son of God. Number one, trust in unfailing word of God. Because that word is set in heaven. The headquarter of the word is heaven. So it doesn't change. No factor, no earthly factor can change it. It is settled in heaven. Number two, boosting your confidence. Trusting in the faithfulness of God, that God does not change. Malachi 3:6. We'll continue to emphasize that. God will not lie. Numbers 3:23-19. Number three, boosting your confidence. You have to accompany with the faithful. Company with the faithful. Company with the faithful. Choose your company. Choose people that you work together. If you work with the fearful, you can be rest assured. You will be crippled. You will be gripped with fear. You will be crippled with fear. It's a matter of time. You will be crippled with the same fear. Because the more he is releasing fear, the more the thing is entering into your heart. So one thing you can do to help yourself when you have a fearful friend is to shut him down or walk away from him. Is that all right? If you can shut the fellow down, then the fellow will mind his word. For example, you may have a spouse that is afraid and always release negative. Don't pamper negative words. Fight it. Because it's a seed. You don't pamper what you don't want. The next thing, if you have a confident, a spouse that is afraid, sit your spouse down and teach the word of God. Husband, you need wisdom to teach the man. It's wisdom now that you will need if you are the woman. If you are the man, of course, it's your work. The Bible says you have to make your wife, your bride. You water your bride. You make her shine. According to the book of Ephesians now, chapter 5. So you company with the faithful. What is the faithful I'm talking about? Three things in this faithful. Number one, people who have faith in God, they have the same understanding of God that you have. For example, look at the Hebrew boys. Look at the three Hebrews now. You see, not one of them is saying Shadrach. How many times did I call you? Let's think about this thing, though.
And I beg Nigo say, ah, thank you. I've also wanted to tell Shedrako, let's think about this thing. We have never seen this kind of fire before. And then one of them say, Esa King, me. Me, how we bow. Listen, what do you think we have? If one of them is trying to back out, the faith of others will shake. Don't company with the fearful. They will kill your faith. And once the faith of a man die, that's the end of destiny. So walk with people of faith who have faith in God, the same way you have faith. Number two, who is a faithful that you can work with, you can company with? They are reliable people. Not all Christian or church goers are reliable. Some, it is the day you need them most, that's the time they will disappoint you. You must have test people and know their strengths. So when you know somebody have the character of ever changing like chameleon, you better don't trust in such fellow. The day you need a fellow most, you'll be greatly disappointed. You'll be greatly disappointed. Number three, what's an example of a faithful? What should you look for in anyone you call faithful? They don't only believe in God, they believe in you. Are you listening to me? A faithful, even though believe in God, the same way they believe in God, they believe in your destiny. And so they can do anything to make your destiny speak. That's a faithful. They are faithful to God. They are faithful to you. They are reliable. They are committed to you. That's a faithful. For example, God told Gideon before his harvest, Judges chapter 7, in verse 9 and 10. Put it on the screen. God said, now everything is set. I have chosen your army for you. At that point, God have reduced the army of 23,000 to 300. God have removed the faithful. And I pray for you, the faithful in your company, may God himself remove them. You don't have to company with everybody. They don't have the same capacity for your destiny. Have you ever asked yourself why the rich befriend the rich and not poor? Check the list of a rich man, the closed relationship, friendship of rich man. You will find the rich there. Have you ever wondered why? Because the rich will always need the strength of his friend to do whatever he wants to do. Is that all right? So for your destiny, you need people of like passion. Like passion. Look at this. God told Gideon, if you are afraid, no, go back. I think verse 9 first. Verse 9 first, please. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up now, go against the camp, because I am going to give it to your hand. I'm going to give it. Somebody can now shout, wow, God has promised he's going to give it. But now God is saying there is an action for you to take. As you go now, you should go. But if you want to go and you are afraid, if you are afraid to attack, look at what God says you should do. Go down to the camp with your servant, Pura. So you need people of like passion. People who can risk your life. You know, if this Pura will follow Gideon now, Pura knew in his mindset, if it's unloyal, he might padao. Is that not true? But he's saying, sir, your life for my life for your life. Let's go, sir. If it means I lose my life, I believe in you, sir. Let's go. You need people like that in your life. And I tell you, for you to reach where God is taking you, those are the kind of people you needed.
Those are the kind of people you needed.
Let's close. Finally, you need to have God. I mean, confidence in God in these following ways. I will just mention five. In these following areas of your life. Number one, have confidence in God that he has forgiven you your sins. Have confidence in God that he has forgiven. This has to do with your spiritual balance now. Your spiritual balance. You need this confidence. So you must come out of self-confidence, of self-condemnation, regrets, and depression. Have confidence that God has forgiven you your sins. Numbers 23, 21. He has not beheaded iniquity in Israel or in Jacob. He has forgiven you. He has forgiven you. Move on. Move on. Have confidence that your past is past. Move on. Come out of that regret of yesterday. How long are you going to sit down and regret and keep regretting? It will kill your confidence in God. You will keep doubting God. You will keep doubting yourself. Move on. Am I speaking to somebody today? Move on. Number two, areas you need to have confidence in God. Have confidence in God that he has planned for you. That's amazing. And that his plan for you is better than your plan for yourself. So for your life, for your destiny, understand that there is a plan of God. And make up your mind to find that plan and to remain in that plan. And that no matter how much you plan for yourself, God has bigger plan. Jeremiah 29:11, NIV put it better. Can you get NIV on the screen, sir? Okay, very good. Put Jeremiah 29:11 NIV translation on the screen. Proverbs 19:21 also say the same thing. Man may propose, God disposes. That is what Proverbs 19:21 is saying. Jeremiah 29:11. Thank you. He said, for I know the plan that I have for you. God has a plan for you. Can you say confidence to yourself? God has a plan for me. Close your eyes and say, God has a plan for me. Can you call yourself by name? Say, Benga, be rest assured. God, your maker, your redeemer, has a plan for you. He said, plans to prosper you. Say, amen. What is this plan of God? Prosperity. Prosperity. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to prosper and you will prosper. It's part of his plan. Amen. So let's live a balanced Christian life. Let's preach balanced doctrine. God wants you to prosper. But then you must not throw away righteousness and holiness. Is that all right? He said, God said, this plan is plan of prosperity. He said, not to harm you. God don't harm you. He's a father. God does not harm his own children. Hello, mothers in the house. How many times have you harmed your own children? Talk to me, mothers. You are a mother now. How many times have you deliberately you harm your children? It's not God. Even while you are punishing that child, is that all right? It's not God. So all these evil things that happen, and somebody eventually have to you want to have this evil what do you call it now? Consolation. Maybe that is the will of God. No, that's not the will of God. Evil is not God's will. It's not God's will. Bible says everything God created, they were what? They were good. Where was evil there? That's a subject for another day. Not to harm you. Plan to give you what? Talk to me. Look at it on the screen. Hope and future. Say to yourself, God has a future for me. I will follow God straight and I will reach my future. Let's go on. I just want to mention this thing. I don't want to stay. Number three plan, where you should have confidence. Have confidence in God that He is committed to you and His promises to you. God is committed to you. He's committed to His promises to you. You know why? You are His bride. Men in the house, you remember when you are chasing your wife. You remember many times you were calling in the night. Am I there once in your men in the house? You know, in those days, even the women will not do much. It is the men that will do much. I think it was sometimes ago, we are having maybe marriage, cancer in the house, and then, you know, then I still remember sister was living somewhere in the quarters. And sometimes, if you know the distance between that mobi to enter quarters, how many of you know the area? You should know the area now. Between quarters, mobi junction to quarters, you will know it will take like from here to maybe Molete, you go, you come back, and then you go. And the brother will confidently and joyfully. Amen. God will forgive you. He even said one. There was one day it was raining. I don't forget such story. Is he online? And it was raining. And he has given his word that he will come. And sister was also waiting. I will test him. Maybe he will come today. He will show his love. The brother came. Oh, in the rain. Yes. You, uncle. Should we say your own? How many times you travel and come and you didn't tell pastor? Praise God. You know what what men are trying to do? Commitment to the bride. Commitment to the bride. That is the same way God is committed. Jesus is committed to His church. That whatever I promise you, I am committed to you. I am committed to my plans for you. Please give me Psalm 145. Psalm 145 verse 13. Put it in NIV also, or Message translation. Either of the two. Psalm 145 verse 13. God is committed to you. Somebody say that God is committed to me. Amen. Yeah. I want to use the latter part, but let me read from the beginning. Your beginning is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Now the latter parts are focused. The Lord is trustworthy. Can we read it together? Want to go? The Lord is trustworthy in all He promises, and faithful in all He does. God is trustworthy in all He promises. He's faithful to do it. That is God. That's God. So be sure He's committed to you. All He has promised you, He will bring them to pass. Let me close. Number four. I've talked about you having confidence in God that He has forgiven you, right? Have confidence in His plan, right? Have confidence that He's committed to you, right? Now, number four. Have confidence in God that God is with you always. Have confidence in His presence. That everywhere you go, His presence is with you. As long as you remain in His will. So that's your defense system. Write it down. You have a defense system. And God is your general commander. Psalm 121, verse 4, verse 5, and verse 8 says, the Lord watches over you. The Lord watches over you. That was the confidence of Elisha. The enemy came to arrest him. The servant cried, hey, we are in trouble. The man confidently walked out and said, God, open his eyes. Open his eyes. And by the time God opened his eyes, the Bible says, he saw the host that encamped Elijah. Read your Bible. He saw the host that encamped Elijah. But he didn't see that as long as he's with Elijah, there is an host around him also. Depending on what you see, will determine whether you will be afraid or you have confidence. For the Hebrew, they just knew God is with them. Is that all right? They just knew God is with them. Nothing has changed at that moment. Heaven did not fall. But they just knew they carry God's presence. Daniel just knew he carried God's presence. Even though he was thrown into the lion's den, he just knew that God is with him. Finally, have confidence in God, that God will help you. Write it down. Have confidence in God, that God will help you. He will help you. Please put on the screen Isaiah 41, verse 10 and verse 13. Have confidence in God, that God will help you. He will help you. He will help you. He says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Say somebody with me, God will help me. Say it again. Say, God will help me. One more time, say, God will help me. Let's see verse 13. That's a confirmation of this verse 10. Verse 13 says, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Say it again, God will help me. Have you beat your chest with your right hand? Say, God will help me. Two more times, say, God will help me. One more time, God will help me. Have you learned something today? Confidence of a farmer. Trusting God for your harvest. So don't throw away your confidence. To throw away your confidence is to throw away your harvest. Are you getting it? Whatever it is you are believing God for, stand still and see the salvation of God. Don't throw away your confidence. In any season of life, stay put to God. It will surely come true for you. Stand to your feet.